We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Talk to Nick Costos about that. You better, you bet. And we will do that. How about we do that right now? Thanks to our friends at Bet Rivers. Go and check out all the latest lines today. BetRivers.net. Also, be sure to check out You Better, You Bet on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcast. I'd be remiss if I didn't first say, Nick, happy belated birthday to you, friend.
Appreciate it, man. How you doing today?
I'm okay. I got a first-place baseball team. That's good. Rodgers, he was never going to show up for this camp, so I'm fine with that. This Bucks thing, man, I don't know what happened. The Bucks are clearly playing into everything the Nets want to do. This is all happening without James Harden, and yet they're still favored in Game 3. I think the home court advantage thing is why they're favored, but, dude, I don't think that matters. The thing that bothered me the most after the game was Bud and Giannis and all these guys, Nick, saying, oh, it doesn't matter if you lose by one or you lose by 30. But it does, though. And as soon as the Bucks go down on Thursday night, assuming at some point they go down, the crowd, it's been a long time since it's been full at Fiserv Forum, they're going to be out of it. Because how are we supposed to believe the Bucks can win this series or even a game when it doesn't look like the Bucks can, Nick?
Yeah, I don't necessarily disagree with you. I understand why the Bucks are favored tonight. And, you know, I think I've talked about this with you, right? We see this phenomenon a lot, right, where teams go down 2-0 on the road and then they come back home for game three. And the first half line is inflated because we've seen a lot of teams in situations like this come out. You know, crowd's going to be hot, sense of urgency, and perform very well in the first half. So, you know, you're seeing Milwaukee -3 for the game. And I think the first half line is also -3, and you usually don't see that here. So I think the expectation is that Milwaukee's going to come out firing tonight because we see teams in this spot, you know, historically kind of come out firing. And I do think it's also fair to say that Milwaukee's going to shoot better than it did in games 1 and 2. And look, I agree with you. I've said for a long time I think Coach Bud is a clown. I think they should have fired Coach Bud after the Toronto series a couple of years ago. So I'm with you there. I think this is a team that's not a lot of fun to watch. And we don't have to really like clown on the Milwaukee Bucks here because I know you guys probably do a lot of that on the show. But, I certainly understand why Bucks fans wouldn't feel confident. I don't really want to bet on Milwaukee tonight. I do think they're going to come out and they're going to score a good amount of points tonight, and I think the three-point variance will be better. Like, I think Chris Middleton almost can't keep shooting like the way he has, and I think a lot of these shots are going to start dropping for Milwaukee. But again, like, the problem is I think Brooklyn's going to score a lot also. So maybe Milwaukee's able to win this game tonight. Maybe Milwaukee's able to cover the spread. I would never bet on Milwaukee in this game here. I do think if Brooklyn wins tonight, I think they sweep because I think Milwaukee's going to 1-2-3 Cancun it and pack it in. And the body language is very poor for this team, as we saw, you know, while they were getting their butts whipped, obviously, in game number 2. I do think the over is worth a look in this game, though, because I do think you're going to get, like, a big scoring effort tonight from Milwaukee. You know you'll get that from Brooklyn. So it's 235 right now. The game 2 total closed 238.5. Obviously went under since Milwaukee scored 86 points. And now we're getting a bit of a discount as a result. So I would actually look to come back and play this over tonight. Wouldn't be shocked if Milwaukee won the game. I'm not going to bet on it. But I don't think Milwaukee obviously is going to win the series. And I don't think that's like a pretty crazy take at all.
I do have to correct you. The game is tomorrow.
Oh, excuse me. Sorry about that. I was looking at the wrong thing. Yes. Tomorrow night, Thursday. My bad on that. Yes,
but, Nick, when I replay some of this at 6:30 a.m. tomorrow, it will sound very much live because you said tonight.
Awesome. Good. There's only one NBA game tonight. That's going to make my life a lot easier today. Okay, awesome. My bad there.
So this Bucks-Nets thing, before I look at some of these other series with you, I don't know what they do should they lose this series. You fire Coach Bud, obviously, but then do you look at trading Middleton? Do you look at trading other pieces? Because this is the interesting thing about this Bucks era that we're in, is it feels like they've accomplished more than they have. If they bow out of this series, you went to the Eastern Conference Finals 2 years ago and then only got to the semifinals then last year and this year. It feels like you accomplished more than you did, but that's not a great accomplishment. I mean, hundreds of teams have had little three-year stretches like that. You got a Bucks team that is going to build around Giannis. That's good. Jrue Holiday is a good piece. Middleton, although he didn't show up the other day, starting 0-for-8, you do like him, but I don't. The Nets are not going away, and they're doing all this without James Harden, who I think at one point on the bench realized, wow, I really don't have to come back this entire postseason. We're going to win the finals. I don't know what they do outside of the firing the coach.
Yeah, I think they're screwed. You know, I think like they're kind of like locked in to like this Giannis, Middleton, Jrue Holiday, you know, group here for a while, and maybe there'll be some clever way to finagle out of it. But yeah, man, I think Milwaukee's in a lot of trouble here. And unless Giannis is awesome. Love Giannis. Love the fact that he re-signed in Milwaukee. I mean that seriously. He's great. But like at some point, can like he develop like a real mid-range jumper? Like, this team is just really predictable. They're really boring to watch. And I'm not trying to bang on them. I know a lot of fans are probably like, screw this guy, referring to me. I'm just being honest. Like, if they were really exciting and I'm like, wow, I can't wait to watch the Bucks, like, I'd rather watch the Atlanta Hawks a million times over before I watch the Milwaukee Bucks. Extremely predictable, very easy to defend. Yeah, I think they're in trouble for quite some time now. Now, and I think the problem is, you know, that they may be in the dead zone that you're talking about, Bart, right, where they're way too good to ever be in the lottery. Like, they'll make the playoffs every year for sure, maybe even be a top four seed every year, but never going to be good enough to, like, seriously contend to win the conference or win a championship.
Well, yeah, the problem is, don't feel like, oh, I hope I don't offend Bucks fans. You sound just like any regular person that's called in. We are.
Okay, good.
A lot of us feel embarrassed. We feel embarrassed that we believe in this team. We feel like we just feel let down right at this point.
Yeah, I feel you. Just sports, though. What are you going to do?
Yeah, I know. You know, Bruce Arena told me that once. I had him on, and I was pissed that they lost the World Cup, or they didn't make the World Cup. And I'm like, Bruce, I mean, you didn't make the World Cup. He's like, well, it's just soccer.
Well, Bruce is a loser for saying that, because, like, I'm just some dude that sits on my couch and watches and bets on games. Bruce was the coach of the team, so Bruce actually was a loser.
It's just soccer. It's just soccer.
Like, hey, Bruce, you lost to Trinidad and Tobago and didn't qualify for the World Cup. You're a loser, buddy. Yeah, I think it's different for me to say, like, because look, I love sports. I love my teams. I get upset when my teams lose. But at the end of the day, like, unless I bet on it, my wallet doesn't go up or down based on what the teams do, so whatever. But, like, Bruce Arena, like, literally lost his job because of that. Like, okay, loser, go right off into the sunset because you didn't qualify for the World Cup because you couldn't beat Trinidad and Tobago. Loser comment by Bruce Arena.
Thank you. Nick Kostos, you bet, joining us here on The Fan. All right, these other series, you do have the Nuggets and Suns tonight. Phoenix won game one there. And I'll stay out west then, because that Jazz-Clippers game was a good one last night, too. I could still see any of these teams winning any of these series right now out west.
Well, I don't think Denver can win the series. I think Denver's pretty much done. That doesn't mean they can't win a game or two, but I don't think Denver can win the series. I think the one thing that the last series showed us, the first round series, is that Portland's not very good. When Denver lost Jamal Murray, pretty much felt like that was the death knell for that team. And Jokic is awesome, and we cashed the Jokic MVP bets, and that was obviously fantastic, and he was great in the Portland series. Portland was not a bona fide contender, and Denver, once it lost Jamal Murray, was never going to be a bona fide contender. And we said this for a long time on You Better, You Bet. And that manifested itself in game number one, where, like, Denver comes out and they look really good in the first half, and then Phoenix starts hitting a lot of shots, and Chris Paul looks like, you know, vintage Chris Paul. And that's that. It was a wrap. They absolutely dominated them in the second half. And the matchup to watch in this series is DeAndre Ayton down low against Nikola Jokic. And Jokic is great. This is not to bang on Jokic, but Jokic has said repeatedly, both before the series and then after game one, and the stats bear this out, that DeAndre Ayton does a very good job on him. And Ayton presents problems for Jokic. you know, both defensively and then Ayton obviously offensively. And we saw that, you know, with the dunk in the first quarter. So I don't think that this is a series that Jokic can necessarily – and look, he's great, so maybe he can actually end up doing it because his greatness is so overwhelming. But even if that's the case, I don't think Denver's got enough to really contend in this series with Phoenix. So, again, that doesn't mean they're going to get swept. They could potentially win or cover tonight. I would never bet on them. I bet Phoenix in game one. I'll come back and bet Phoenix in game two here. So I think Phoenix is going to win the series, and I think Phoenix will win game number two tonight. As for the Clippers and Jazz, I think yesterday played out the way a lot of us thought that it would, which was the Clippers were going to be drawing dead coming off the Game 7 win, the emotional win on Sunday over the Mavericks, while the Jazz were kind of, you know, coasting and resting after dispatching the Grizzlies in five. So certainly not surprised with how the game went last night. And I think, you know, if you were watching the game, really interesting quotes from Donovan Mitchell at the end of the third quarter before the start of the fourth, and great job by the TNT broadcast showing this. Where Mitchell, who's a young player, I think this really shows how he's awesome and how savvy he is, goes to the guys like they just played in a game seven. If we take it to them here to start this fourth quarter, they're going to pack it in and start getting ready for game two. Now, I don't think like that's what happens, and like the final score will reflect that because the Clippers did cut it to three late in the game, and that was the final margin. So if you bet, you know, the closing spread, you push. But the Jazz really controlled the fourth quarter here. So I don't think that should be a surprise based on what we saw the Clippers have to face on Sunday. I do think still the Clippers are the better team here. I would like to see Ty Lue do a little something different with his rotations. Like, I get that Luke Kennard shot well last night, 7 of 9, 18 points. But, like, you can't leave Luke Kennard in the game. And for the people that didn't stay up late to watch it, Kennard's in the game in the fourth quarter. The Utah Jazz are literally running their offense, either pick and roll off Kennard or Donovan Mitchell is just blowing right past him to the hole and laying it in. Like, it was embarrassing. At some point, Ty Lue's got to actually do something. I'm confident that's going to happen, and maybe that's famous last words of a fool here. I think the Clippers are the better team, so I actually like the Clippers to come back and win the series here. So you can get the Clippers right now to win the series at around plus 185. That's a bet I've actually placed this morning. So Suns tonight, Suns for the series. I like the Clippers in game two, and I still like L.A. to come back and win the series.
Sixers, Hawks, Sixers rebound in game two. Feels like they're the better team, but the Hawks, like you said, they are fun. They can score. It's certainly a more interesting series than I thought maybe it would be.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And I think Philly opened around like minus 1.5 coming up in game three of that series on the road in Atlanta. I actually don't know what I want to do with that game just yet. But part of me feels like I want to come in and play the over. I played it last night, and it was a tough luck loser for me. I think I want to come back and play the over there. I haven't kind of decided what I want to do in terms of a game-by-game basis moving forward here. And while I do think this is a really fun series, and while I do think the Atlanta Hawks are a fun team, and I'm saying that as a Knicks fan, like, they punked my team, and I want to hate them, but I can't because I think they're great, and Trae Young's a great villain, and Bogdan's a great villain. You know, by the way, this is an aside, would help the Milwaukee Bucks. Bogdan.
Well, we kind of had them, and then the league wouldn't let us, so.
Which is insane to think about, the butterfly effect there with Bogdan. The one thing I really do feel confident in this series is if Embiid's going to end up playing, and he's played mega minutes in both games, and he's been fantastic in both games, if that's going to be the case, and I think at this point there's really no reason to believe it's not going to be, and this could change on a dime, right? Like, we've seen this happen with Embiid many times before in the postseason, you know, in his time as a Philadelphia 76er. I don't think the Sixers can lose this series. Now, that doesn't mean it can't go seven. It may very well go seven, but I still think Philly will win the series. So Atlanta may look attractive at plus 190 right now or so to come back and win the series. It's not a bet that I would make. I still think Philly very likely to advance to the Eastern Conference Final. Right now, I feel like I don't really have a good read on game three. I need to do some more work in thinking about it.
I know you guys talked a little bit this week about the Julio Jones deal. Looking at the NFL, he gets traded from Atlanta to Tennessee. The numbers that I've seen on him, 89 catches, 1,100 yards, 6 touchdowns. I obviously think it makes the Titans better, and a lot of people are ragging on my guy Ryan Tannehill. I don't like that. I think he's good. What do you think this trade does for the Titans' chances, and do you like any of the props you've seen with Julio?
Well, I think that people like to be contrarian, and I think it's like a popular contrarian take to look at a trade like this and say, oh, just a wide receiver doesn't help. Like, you know, 32 on the wrong side of 30 in the twilight of his career, like hurt last year, actually doesn't mean that much for the Titans. I completely disagree. And I like to look at things, and I think this is what, you know, selfishly here, if you'll allow me to pontificate for a second, I think what makes my show, You Better, You Bet, Such a Good Show, is like the difference of viewpoints that my co-host Ken Barkley and I bring to the table, where he comes at it from more of like a number standpoint, right, and backing things up with statistics. And I look really at the on-court, the on-field handicap here. And the on-field handicap for Tennessee, and the reason why I didn't like the Titans after a lot of what we saw this offseason, they lost a lot of pieces on offense. You know, Corey Davis signs with the Jets. Jonnu Smith signs with the New England Patriots. Like, Anthony Firkser steps in as the solo tight end now. Josh Reynolds was signed away from the Rams. Like, I like Josh Reynolds, but I don't think he's, like, a viable number two wide receiver. So I looked at this offense now, and, like, I love A.J. Brown, and I love Tannehill also, and you love Derrick Henry, and the offensive line should be pretty good. But the offense becomes eminently easier to defend when you've only got one real wide receiver to focus on. And then you can kind of stack the box to try and stop Derrick Henry. So that was kind of the reason why I didn't like Tennessee, and also losing Arthur Smith, the offensive coordinator, to Atlanta, Todd Downing replacing him, a guy who has never, like, inspired confidence in his time as an NFL offensive coordinator. But Julio Jones now added to the mix here, and it sounds like this is a simple take, but I think this is actually what happens. It really unlocks the offense, and it unlocks the potential of what this offense could be. I still don't think this defense is going to be very good, so I think, like, the ceiling for this team is probably, like, AFC South, maybe, like, divisional rounds of the playoffs. I don't know if they can get to a championship game. I certainly don't think they can get to the Super Bowl. They're going to have to win a lot of high-scoring games. But they can do that this year like they did last year with Julio. Like, having Julio there means you can't focus entirely on A.J. Brown, because if you do, Julio's going to kill you. I think it unlocks Josh Reynolds a little bit, right, where maybe you slide Julio to the slot. You play Reynolds outside where he played a lot of the time for the Rams. You can't focus entirely on Julio. You can't focus entirely on Derrick Henry now. So I think Tennessee's going to end up scoring a lot of points this year, regardless of who the coordinator is. So I think this is a great trade for Tennessee. I think it makes them a lot more likely to win the AFC South, where it's basically a coin flip between them, Carson Wentz, and the Colts. And I'll take my chances with Ryan Tannehill over Carson Wentz. Easy. So I think this really helps the Titans, and I think it really hurts the Atlanta Falcons. And I think kind of, I think this is a take that's not really out there yet, but I actually think it's true. I think Atlanta knows that this is it for Matt Ryan. And when I say Atlanta, I mean the new general manager, Terry Fontenot, and the head coach, Arthur Smith. I think they know that this is it for Ryan. I think that this is not about this year. I think it's all about next year. So you add Kyle Pitts, right? And we've seen this happen with tight ends in the past, where it takes tight ends, rookie tight ends, a while to get going. So maybe Pitts could be good this year, but maybe he won't be great until year two. And then you can kind of reload next year with a new quarterback and start getting some new pieces on what's an absolutely terrible defense. And when you look at, like, the number two and what number three wide receiver positions for Atlanta, Olamide's Zacchaeus sounds like a character from the Old Testament, like Russell Gage. Like, who are these guys? The downgrade is significant here. So I think this really hurts Atlanta. Atlanta right now is plus 800 to win the NFC South. Carolina's plus 1,100. I'm not saying either team's going to be better than Tampa. They're not. But Carolina is better than Atlanta, and I feel like they're not being priced like that in the market. I think Atlanta is pretty likely to come in last place in the division this year.
The thing I agree with you the most of everything you said is that you have a good show. It's called You Better, You Bet. You can find it where you get your podcast and on the Odyssey app. Nick, it is always a pleasure. We will talk to you next week.
Looking forward to it. And if you'll allow me, Bart, the hockey bets from yours truly have been great. We'll do those in the Power Hour coming up tonight on the show. And for people that are so inclined, we're going to do 40 minutes, two segments tonight on Euro 2020, which starts on Friday. So if people
wow, you are
from this past week. Oh, yeah, two segments on it. I'm actually preparing it as we speak right now. All my bets for the Euro. So we'll run through all the group stages, who we think is going to win the tournament, top goal scorer, top young player. So if you're interested in betting on the European Championships and international soccer, which start Friday, we got you covered here. Two full segments coming up tonight on You Better, You Bet Live in the 7 o'clock hour Eastern time, and then can be consumed in podcast form afterwards.
Don't you feel, I feel like I have to try. I really have to seek out to find out what's going on in hockey. And a lot of stuff like Ke'Bryan Hayes missed a base last night. I just saw that by accident. There's stuff you see. You just see it by accident. You go online, you see hockey. It's like, you got to find the back of the Declaration of Independence to find out what the hell's going on in this sport.
Yeah, well, like, I don't know. I look at, like, what goes on like, ESPN and, like, FS1 and, like, the stuff that they talk about. Like, I saw it on First Take yesterday. Like, can Arch Manning, who's, I don't even know, is he Cooper's son? Whatever. Can
he Arch is. Manning, I found that out last better, night.
Can he be better than Eli and Peyton? The kid's, like, 15 years old. It's like, there's so many games going on. Like, Colorado and Vegas are in the midst of one of, like, the great playoff hockey series that we've ever seen. Like, a total heavyweight clash. The Islanders and Bruins are in the midst of, like, an extremely entertaining series. And, like, we're talking about Arch Manning. So, look, I get that, like, hockey and, like, doesn't get a lot of the pub, but, like, and I don't watch a ton of it in the regular season, but we do a lot of it on the show because it's awesome and we can bet on it and we can profit on it. So I love it. I think it's great.
Well, that's the end game. Nick, thank you again. We'll talk in a couple days.
Awesome. Looking forward to it.
Nick Kostos, the Kostos on Twitter. I do enjoy our fireside chats each and every week. He joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. If you're applying for a home renovation loan and you're feeling a bit anxious, breathe. Let Great Midwest Bank help you experience a state of tranquility. Get started at greatmidwestbank.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.